facts, or that they held specific information which could have stopped the attacks. Now, I have to stop short there. Do I think that they had foreknowledge? Yes. I can make a good argument for it. Do they have names, dates? That I cannot tell you because I have not seen that information. However, one thing can be ascertained when it comes to foreign intelligence between the years of 2000 and 2001 is that both Saudi Arabia and Israel were intimately involved with the monitoring of people within the planes operation known as the terrorists who hijacked the four planes on September 11, 2001. Date, September 21st, 2001. A full field investigation institutionalized. On September 12, 2001, a Penske truck leased by Urban Moving Systems of 3 West 18th Street in Weehawken, New Jersey, was stopped by the Pennsylvania State Police, and the vehicle's occupants, identified as Roy Barak and Modi Butbol, were arrested. 2 days prior, the same vehicle had been stopped and cited by the Pennsylvania State Police for failure to maintain the vehicle in a marked lane. At the time when the citation and summons were issued, the vehicle was being driven in a westerly direction by Modi Butbol. He held a Florida state driver's license with driver's license number redacted, and his address was identified as Redacted, Florida. Pennsylvania State Police identified Maury Barak holding a Florida state driver's license with blank and residing at the same address as Modi Butbol. Within the vehicle was stopped a second time by the Pennsylvania State Police. It was traveling in an easterly direction. Statements made by the vehicle's occupants contradicted documentation found in the vehicle, as well as statements made by Urban Moving Systems manager Dominic Suter as to the vehicle's true destination and purpose. Philadelphia office is requested to conduct an interview of both Roy Barak and Modi Butbol for the purpose of exploring the nature of their relationship with Urban Moving Systems and the five employees of Urban Moving Systems who are being held on immigration violations. They're also known as the Dancing Israelis. It's also requested that Philadelphia's interviews highlight issues of interest to the National Security Division to include any possible affiliation with Redact. September 21st, 2001. On September 20th, 2001, Redacted and Redacted, employees of White Glove Movers located at 930 Newark Avenue in Jersey City, New Jersey, were interviewed at their workplace and thereafter provided the following information to the FBI. Redacted was born in Israel and her family integrated to the United States. She has dual citizenship and last visited Israel approximately in March of 2000. She has a Social Security account and she currently resides in New York City. Redacted is employed with White Glove Movers at 930 Newark Avenue, Jersey City. She has been employed with White Glove Movers for some time. Redacted advised the FBI that on the morning of the World Trade Center terrorist attacks, she was in her office. She further advised that she did not see blank or his blank, who was also employed by White Glove Movers, as a meet at the office or outside of the White Glove Movers office. Redacted was unaware of any video camera on the premise of White Glove Movers or in the possession of Redacted. Recalled that there was a pair of skis belonging to Redacted, but could not recall what happened to them. No further information was provided. She is a citizen of Israel and is currently in the United States on an expired tourist visa. Currently lost his passport and is presently attempting to file for sponsorship to stay in the United States. The individual with the skis has no official working papers and understands that he could be detained by immigration officials regarding his illegal status. This person currently resides in New York with a telephone number redacted. He is a retired manager for working for the Israeli army. His name is being redacted for obvious purposes within this investigation. Redacted began working for White Glove Movies in March of 2000. On September 11, 2001, the day of the World Trade Center terrorist attack, he was on his way to work when he first heard about it. He never made it to work on that day. Instead, he returned home and periodically called work to make sure things were getting accomplished. Redacted spoke to Redacted by telephone at his home on the 11th of September, 2001, only to check the status of the day's work assignments. Redacted described Omar Mamory as a clown and is not suspected that he would end up in some sort of mess. Redacted was certain that Omar Mamory is not capable or would have ever had something to do with the World Trade Center attack. Redacted has no knowledge of any video camera. He did not recall a set of skis, but does not know where they are. He said he did recall later on that they were there, but doesn't know what happened to them. No further information was provided. Date, September 21st, 2001, Newark, field investigation. Special agents were instructed to contact the Passaic County Jail to obtain any information about any of the five Israelis who were being held there following their arrest by New Jersey State Police and local police on September 16, 2001, the day of the attack at the World Trade Center in New York City. Through previous investigation, special agents determined a point of contact at the Passaic office, Corny Jail, and he called the number on September 16, 2001 and was referred to Redacted. Provided the address of the Passaic County Jail as 11 Sheriff's Plaza in Paterson, New Jersey. The agents went to the Passaic County Jail and spoke with Redacted. The agents explained that the FBI wanted to obtain any records or visitor logs or telephone logs for the Israelis who had been held there. The agents were provided a list of the names of the five Israelis who had been arrested, and another jail officer reviewed their records and advised that the two Israelis, Sivan and Paul Kurzberg, were moved out to another jail that morning. Specifically, both Sivan and Paul Kurzberg were discharged to the Immigration and Naturalization Service early in the morning of 3:23 a.m. on September 16, 2001. The Passaic County Jail officers reviewed their records and advised that the other three Israelis were being held at the Hudson County Jail. The officers advised that they did not receive any visitors. As for telephone calls, the officers advised that there are two telephones for 30 inmates. The officers advised that inquiries concerning telephone call monitoring could be directed to internal affairs. The internal affairs office is closed on this day, for it was a Sunday. The officers photographed all the records pertaining to the Israelis and provided them to Special Agent Redacted. The photocopied returns are attached to the electronic cable. And obviously, that information is redacted. On September 19th, 2001, New Jersey FBI was advised of the identity of the interviewing agent and the purpose of the interview. The person then provided the following information. Redacted had been employed at Urban Moving Systems in Weehawken, New Jersey, since approximately redacted. Her duties include Redacted worked on a regular salary basis, was paid in cash, but she does not know how much they were paid for the other Israelis who were working there. Stated that she never saw Dominic Suter, the manager of Urban Moving Systems, ever pay outside of cash. He stated that she frequently redacted, and the bank account used by the company is Chase Manhattan Bank. She stated that much of the company's financial information, including all checks paid out, which were paid out in cash, are maintained on the company computer system. Now, let me stop there because I used to work for a moving company in Las Vegas for a short bit, and we were paid in cash. Now, this is because they don't want to pay for health. They don't want to pay for benefits afforded to a company that basically rents out other trucks and then uses the company name on those trucks as the company itself. But meanwhile, they're riding, you know, they're hiring other trucks from other companies and then having, you know, day laborers given work orders and paying them in cash for the day's labor. Now, Also, too, you don't have to pay taxes on it. And as well as it's not traceable. So, for example, the company you're removing systems in Weehawken, New Jersey, was basically a small company. However, during the summer of 2001, they were given a huge $500,000 grant. I covered this in the Irving Movie Systems podcast episode. And all of a sudden, they went from a local company to an international company. Now, this would cause some suspicion. And of course, whatever information the FBI collected in the days after 9/11 is still not public knowledge. Now, for a small company, they did have a number of computers, I think it was up to 16, which would really defy belief. 16 computers for a small company like that of maybe 30, 40 people. I mean, at most you would need about is five. But let's get back to the reading of the document. She stated that the company has expanded quite a bit in recent months. Urban Moving Systems started out as a local mover and is now doing cross-country moving. The company is run by Dominic and Omet Suter, and she is much more rigid in her control of the company than is Dominic, who's usually working in the sales office. Omet Suter stated that she had trouble keeping sales people. The accountant for the company used to be Want and Bender from Manhattan. However, they frequently filed the corporate income taxes late. As a result, they recently hired Redacted as their accountant. She stated there was approximately 13 people employed in the office, plus warehouse workers. However, the number of employees frequently changed. The warehouse workers and other laborers are mostly comprised of Russians, Georgians, and Israelis. Redacted is a consultant for a consultation for the company. She started working at Urban Moving Systems in May or June of 2001. She began working in July of 2001 and started working between July and August of 2001 frequently. She stated that none of the employees even punched their time cards as they were instructed to do so. She told the interviewing agents several times that she wanted them to start punching. She told the employees a number of times to start punching in, but they never did. She filled out all of the time cards based on instructions from Dominic Studer. Stated that the company keeps personal files on most employees. However, she does not believe that files were kept on Redacted or either of the Redacted. She met a man named Redacted only on one or two occasions, the first time being on September 11, 2001. She stated that they had internet lines at work, but they're not supposed to use the internet that much. She stated that neither Sivan or Paul Kurzberg were very good with computers. However, of the four, Sivan was the most knowledgeable. She believed that Redacted had once worked as a computer programmer. She stated that they were usually the first people to arrive at the office every day. They usually arrived at about 7:30 a.m. so they could set up the day's work. She stated that they were always at work and that these four Israelis only missed one day of work since they started. She believed that they were not supposed to be working in the United States, for they did not have valid U.S. visas. She believed that all they did was a lot of traveling around the world. For example, one of the Kurzbergs told her, Redacted. She stated that they travel until they run out of money, then they go back to work for a while, accumulate money, and then travel again. The traveling was quite unusual for employees who are day laborers. She was told that none of them had bank accounts and that they always carried their cash around with them. Sivan Kurzberg carried his cash around his ankle. He also told her that he was planning on using the money to travel around the world. He stated that they frequently called him at the office from Israel itself. She stated on the morning of September 11, 2001, after the World Trade Center was struck by the airlines, either Paul or Sivan Kurzberg stated to her that, quote, "Now you see what they are capable of doing," end quote. They added that the United States will have to get involved now. Following the interview at her residence, she was contacted by telephone by the interviewing agents, at which time she provided the following information the following day after the the interview. She stated that after learning that the World Trade Center was struck by airlines, all the employees went outside of the building to watch. They stayed outside for a little while until Dominic told them to get back to work. When they went back inside, someone, possibly redacted, went back to the warehouse to look for a television so they could watch the news at work. She does not recall seeing anybody taking pictures outside the building, although she does recall that Paul Kurzberg had received a new camera from redacted the day before. September 17th, 2001. New Jersey FBI. Redacted said she came to work on the morning of September 11, 2001 and clocked in prior to 9 a.m. The time card showed that she clocked in at 8:58 a.m. When she arrived, she saw Paul and Sebon Kurzberg in the local dispatch area as soon as she walked in the entrance to Irving Moving Systems. Sebon began asking her questions about deliveries that needed to be done that day. Redacted was on the internet, but Redacted could not see what was on the screen. As she walked back to her desk, she saw Paul Kurzberg on the internet in the claims area. She continued on a few more feet and clocked in at 8:58 a.m. She held blank for a moment. She had no knowledge of the Twin Towers bombing at this point. While sitting at her desk, Sebon Kurzberg came to her to come to see her from the long-distance dispatch area and gave her some cookies. When asked how she knew he came from the back office, she said, "If he came through the front door, I would have heard the bell ring." Redacted estimates that she had been in the building for 5 minutes by this time. Redacted talks with him for a few minutes more and then hears from the dispatch area exclaim, quote, "Oh my God, a plane just hit the World Trade Center," end quote. In response, Paul Kurzberg says, "No way." Redacted goes to the local dispatch area and they still see a still picture on the computer screen of a plane hitting one tower. Redacted said herself and others were in shock and disbelief. She went back to her desk and talks with someone else via phone. After speaking with her mother, she helped with Redacted. She said that when she returned from the local dispatch area, Paul Kurzberg was still on the computer. Sebon Kurzberg was still on the computer. She does not remember seeing Paul at the local dispatch when the picture of the plane was on the computer screen. After talking to her mother and helping Redacted, she went back to the warehouse where Redacted was packing boxes. The boxes were for a delivery to Manhattan, which were to be delivered the day before. She told the agents that he would not be able to get into Manhattan due to the bombing. She went out to the front of the store and stood at the corner with others, and they were all shaken up. When asked how she knew they were upset, she replied, "You could see it in their faces." In regards to reading this material to you, it's about information. What is the basis for all intelligence, domestic and foreign? Is to collect intelligence via human intelligence, or human, and signals intelligence, SIGINT. There is no more powerful source, not money, not fame, not fortune. Information is power, and power can make people do things they ordinarily wouldn't want to do or want to do or be asked to do. And in this case, if you're collecting intelligence on, say, Islamic fundamentalists, you're going to basically get to try to get inside the source itself. Now, I'm not saying for certain that the Israelis or even Saudi Arabia or the CIA or the NSA had direct sources within those who participated in the hijacking of the four airplanes on September 11, 2001. I'm working on a theory that the Israelis had a mole, and that is Ziad Jarrah. Now, I don't have any, of course, direct evidence for this, but I can make a good argument for it. But you would need more than that. You would need sources inside the, say, the airlines themselves. So if you were going to put, say, weapons inside planes, you would need to have sources within the airline industry. Could this be possible? Well, in an NBC interview with people within the intelligence community and the airline industry, that was most certainly the case in the days and weeks and months prior to September 11, 2001.
Investigators are also speculating that the terrorists may have been able to infiltrate airport staff, such as catering or baggage handlers, gaining access to secure areas of the airport.
One of the most difficult things in the world to protect against in any security system is an insider.
Billy Vincent is a former head of security for the Federal Aviation Administration.
When they bring those catering supplies on board, you have to remember that that individual, like anyone else coming in the security area, is not screened. They could have carried whatever they wanted with them.
Government reports have warned for years that background checks for airport personnel are inadequate. In fact, in 1996, Dateline producers working undercover had no trouble being hired at Newark and Atlanta-Hartsfield airports. At Newark Airport in New Jersey, where one of the hijacked planes departed yesterday, our Dateline producer was hired on the spot, no references checked. Within 2 days, he was screening bags at a security checkpoint with no training. He was able to gain access to planes, cockpits, and other secure areas. While changes were made after our report, problems persist. Dateline has reviewed FAA records of all violations against airlines, airports, and individuals over the past 2 years. The number of security violations are almost double the number of all other kinds of violations combined. Today, the FAA issued new orders for airport security. From now on, you'll no longer be allowed to check your bags at curbside. You won't be able to access boarding areas without a ticket. And according to Vincent, you won't be able to bring pocket knives, cutting tools, or even scissors aboard planes. But experts warn even those procedures don't go far enough.
Even more interesting is they did not prohibit the passenger from carrying all of these carry-on items that they're inclined to do on board an airplane. I find that amazing.
Instead, Vincent and others point to more extensive measures many foreign countries have had in place for years. For instance, the international airport in Zurich, Switzerland, heavily armed soldiers patrol the terminal, armored vehicles on tarmacs, and highly trained government employees operate scanning equipment, scrutinizing passengers and carry-on bags. International airlines like Israel's national airline, El Al, are legendary for their rigorous security.
The security is amazing. They go through every bag.
Terry Tripler is a travel consultant.
They physically search every person. You do not know exactly when you're going to leave, or you will sit on the ramp somewhere, and then at a moment's notice, you take off.
But that's not likely to happen here. Tripler warns, however, that whatever we do will impact air travel as we know it.
I think the security during the Gulf War was a Sunday school picnic compared to what we're going to see when it comes online. I think we're going to be telling people, rightfully so, to get out to the airport 2 and 3 hours prior to their flight.
Are we, the American public, partially to blame here because we have insisted, indeed demanded, that we go to the airport and just get on that plane?
We want everything fast. You know, we're in a fast food world. We want to get out to the airport, get on the plane, and get where we're going. And we want a $198 fare on top of it. We're going to have more security, longer check-in lines, and we're going to have to pay more money.
Something.
September 14, 2001. FBI went to the home of Redacted in New Jersey. Redacted and his redacted are residents for Doric Towers. On the morning of September 11, 2001, Redacted was painting an apartment less than 5 minutes after the first plane hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center, comes up to the apartment and informs of Redacted of the disaster. Redacted stands up from painting the baseboard, looked out the window, and notices three young men taking video and still photographs from atop the roof of the parking garage adjoining Doric Towers. He also sees a white utility van next to the men and a brown van further behind. These were no other people in the parking lot at the time. He believed that this occurred between 9 a.m. and 9:10 a.m. Redacted exited apartment and goes to his apartment, which takes approximately 5 minutes to get to. He looks out the window and sees both towers on fire. After 6 to 7 minutes, he goes to another window in his apartment, sees that the men in both the white and brown van were gone. Redacted said he did not see any waiting or writing on the van's occupants or the van itself on any of the windows other than the glass on the driver and passenger sides. After questioning Redacted, walked to the parking garage with agents and described positioning of the vans and the three men. He made a couple of crude diagrams for the agents in the parking lot, which is enclosed in a 1A envelope. September 14th, 2001. Union City Detective Bureau interviewed, Redacted by telephone. After Redacted was made aware of the identity of the interviewing agents, he provided the following information. Union City Detective Bureau received a complaint from Doric Towers. Apartment Redacted in 100 Manhattan Avenue, New Jersey City, New Jersey. Reported that this person saw three light-skinned, clean-shaven males in their early 20s wearing T-shirts and blue jeans, smoking and taking still photographs and videotaping the destruction of the World Trade Center towers. She described the men as being in a festive mood and high-fiving one another. At one point, the men took pictures from the top of the white utility van in which they had driven. The license plate was taken down by this person, JRJ13Y. The plate came back to Urban Moving Systems, 312 Pavone Avenue, New Jersey City, New Jersey. Detectives obtained three cigarette butts from the area where the men were taking pictures. A list of current and prior addresses were compiled for the identified hijackers, suspected associates, and the five subjects from Urban Moving Systems that were detained by the East Rutherford Police Department. The information used to compile this list was obtained from prior investigations and databases. Attached to and part of the FD-302, one is the compiled list of the addresses and the U.S. entry dates for the hijackers and suspected associates, and two, a comparable list for the subjects employed by the Urban Moving System. September 15, 2001. Newark FBI interviews Redacted. At approximately 8:15 on September 11, 2001, while leaving the above-referenced apartment complex at Doric Towers, Redacted observed a white parking van in the rear parking lot of the apartment complex. A male individual appearing to have brown but not dark complexion, round face, dark hair, approximately age 30, was driving the van. He drove the van very slowly into the rear parking lot, paused, and backed into a parking spot which, from the front, overlooked the New York City skyline. No passengers were visible. Upon returning to the area at approximately 9:20 a.m. that same day, the interviewee did not see the van. The van was white, had no windows on the sides. It appeared to be a utility van for an electric company because the words electrical supplies, among others, printed on it. The name of the utility or vendor company since forgotten was in red lettering on the van. The license tag was not noticed. Usually, utility or service vehicles at the complex building parked in the front. This vehicle was parked in the back, which is why it came to the interviewee's interaction. It seemed out of place, according to him. Newark, New Jersey FBI, dated September 16, 2001. Interviews, redacted. Employee of Irving Moving Systems. According to the interviewee, Dominic Suter had mostly Russian and Israeli men working for him. He places ads in Israeli and Russian newspapers to get people to work for him and pay them in cash on a weekly or daily basis. He owns several large moving trucks and rents a few trucks when it's busy. He also owns a white cargo van with no windows. He normally does not let his workers take his vehicles home with them. There is an Israeli newspaper that advertises Florida driver's licenses in one day. This is known throughout the Israeli community as a way to obtain a license. She had one of these newspapers in front of her and read the phone numbers listed to call for a license. They are as follows: 786-543-5921, 954-682-5599, 917-886-5570, 305-308-2060, 718-997-7070, and 718-382-7333. Just to also note, again, Florida. This is the hub of the Hamburg cell, and it's also a hub for the Israeli nationals that I covered in the previous episode, Irving Moving Systems Redux. Hanan Sarfati was the main Israeli unit leader regarding that cell. September 14, 2001. Newark FBI interviewed, redacted at his place of employment at JNS Gulf, 1324 Willow Avenue in Hoboken, New Jersey, where he pumps gas. After being informed of the identities of the interviewing agents and the nature of the interview, he provided the following information. Redacted is an Egyptian citizen who arrived in the United States, flew to the United States from Egypt by way of Washington. He and another Egyptian male, redacted, lived together at the location in New Jersey City. Redacted stated that he is familiar with a company called Urban Moving, that they have an account for gas with the station. Redacted also stated that trucks belonging to Urban Moving Systems come to the station every day, usually in the morning. On September 11, 2001, Redacted was working an 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. shift at the gas station. Redacted stated that a white van belonging to Urban Moving Systems came in for gas in that morning. He remembered that the driver had short, dark hair. He remembers the driver because the driver had been to the gas station in the past and had spoken some phrases in Arabic to Redacted, but he does not know if any other people were in the van as well. He did not know the name of the driver. He does not remember the exact time that the van from Irving Move System came in for gas that morning, but believes that it was prior to the attack on the World Trade Center, because after that, Kurt, every customer that day had something to say about the event. Redacted assured that he did not speak of the attack with the driver of the Irving Moving Systems van. Now, that's quite important, because this would mean that the truck had gas, that they had arrived in New Jersey before the attacks. And remember, Irving Moving Systems, the employees, the five Israelis, never told the FBI that they were there prior to the attacks, that they had come when the attacks were taking place. But from photographs that were obtained through a FOIA, showed that they were there prior to the attacks and that they were seen celebrating. FBI, Newark, New Jersey, dated September 16, 2001. Interview, Dominic Suter. On September 15, 2001, through telephone. Dominic Suter is a citizen of Israel and has been in the United States for a little over a year on a tourist visa. He was introduced to Redacted in the early part of 2000. Dominic Suter had approximately 20 to 30 men working for his moving company. Most of the people working for him were Polish, Russian, and a few Israeli men who stuck together. He used to advertise visitors from those countries to work for him. The company enabled Dominic Suter to pay below minimum wage with cash as to avoid paying taxes and benefits too. Dominic would also refuse to pay employees knowing that they would not fight him since they were working on a tourist visa themselves. Dominic Suter did engage in moving items for both business and residential companies, as well as places of business. One of the smaller moving vehicles was a white van with no windows, as well as several large moving trucks. He did use several computers with internet access. Dominic doesn't usually lend his vehicles out to the workers. He's usually very tight with his possessions and money. He does make his workers get driver's licenses, and they fill out three pieces of paperwork. It is unknown what this paperwork consists of. FBI, Newark, date September 17, 2001. Redacted was interviewed at his place of residence. On September 11, 2001, Redacted heard the attacks in the World Trade Center and drove from his residence to Liberty State Park, New Jersey, in order to give blood. He arrived at Liberty State Park sometime between 10 and 11 a.m., approximately 20 to 30 minutes later. He observed the truck enter Liberty State Park. The truck was new, either a 2000-2001 model year GMC box truck with dual rear wheels. The box had rivets on the outside, which indicated to him that the inside was lined with wood. There were several caps. On the top front corners of the box in the rear had a roll-up door. The box was approximately 14 feet high and 16 to 18 feet long, similar dimensions to a Ryder rental truck. The side of the box had a sign which said Urban Moving Systems in black letters. He did not recall the exact words, but recalled it contained wording to the effect of Urban and a moving company along with an unrecalled telephone number. The truck had no apparent dings, dents, or scratches on it and was remarkably clean for a moving truck. Truck backed into a parking space near the pier within 50 feet of the water. He did not see anyone exit the vehicle. He also told the agents that he recalled that the Urban Moving System truck left Liberty State Park just after an announcement was made to close Ellis Island. At this time, he saw three males approach and enter the vehicle. He viewed the males from a distance of approximately 40 to 45 yards. He described one individual as the driver of the van. Age in his 20s, approximately 5 foot six to 5 foot nine, about 165 to 175 pounds, and had skin tone, which could have been that of Mexican origin. He looked light, didn't look like he worked as a mover. He wore faded blue jeans, white short sleeves, t-shirt, and a black vest, possibly leather. He also wore a black fanny pack of average size, which hung to look as if it contained 3 to 5 pounds of weight inside. The fanny pack hung just below his front left pocket of his jeans. He did not get a good look at the other two males, described both of them as being in their 20s, approximately 5 foot seven, between 190 to 200 pounds. The second individual carried a digital or 35 millimeter camera with a zoom lens. The body of the camera was black in color. The three individuals entered the vehicle and departed the area. And as you could see, the individuals being interviewed by the FBI had information which contradicted the storyline of those who were detained by the FBI that were employed at Urban Moving Systems. During the afternoon of September 11, 2001, FBI agents participated in a canvass of residents at the apartment building located at 100 Manhattan Avenue, New Jersey City. This would be Doric Tower. During this canvass, agents questioned residents about activities in and around the building outside the past few days. One individual provided the suspecting individuals that were to the building prior to the attacks. One individual said that a man who appeared to be in religious dress would be accompanied by five or six younger men. All the men dressed like Muslims, and all had long beards. The one individual was an older man, had salt and pepper colored hair, and wore white or purple clothes on occasions. She had never seen him inside the building, but only inside the parking lot. The man was wearing purple clothing and surrounded by a number of other males who were kissing him. Just a few days prior to the attacks, other men saw him get into a new model economy car and leave. September 16, 2001, Newark FBI. Interviews blank at Urban Moving Systems. After being advised of the identity and capacity of the interviewing agents and the nature of the interviews, this individual voluntarily provided the following information. Redacted identified, redacted, as the Urban Moving Systems employees assigned to complete a multi-state delivery of residential goods identified on the long-distance delivery bulletin board at Urban Moving Systems as delivery route number 31. Route 31 consisted of goods picked up in New York State and New Jersey that were in storage at Urban Moving. The goods originating in the New Jersey area were to be delivered to Marietta, Georgia. Upon completion of the Georgia delivery, the goods originating from New York State were to be delivered to St. Louis, Missouri. Upon completion of the Missouri delivery, the truck should have been empty and en route to pick up goods in Nashua, New Hampshire. The goods from New Hampshire were to be delivered to Lawrence, Massachusetts. Redacted was aware that law enforcement authorities had stopped and detained Roy Barak and Modi Bupul in Montoursville, Pennsylvania. Redacted had received a call from law enforcement authorities inquiring about both Roy Barak and Modi Bupul. The rest is redacted. And that's not shocking at all. Date, September 21st, 2001. Newark, New Jersey FBI, contact. Employee at Urban Moving Systems. He provided the following information. He was employed by Urban Moving Systems Company until recently for approximately, redacted, working on a moving van as a helper. He was paid under the table and earned $10 an hour. The other helpers all seemed to be Russians, Hungarians, and Israelis. They always spoke Hebrew in his presence. He also advised that these other foreign nationals of this company had frequent meetings in the company's office, and he and the other non-Jewish employees were never invited to join them. Redacted advised that during his employment with Urban Moving Systems, he traveled to blank and blank on several occasions to deliver furniture. Also during this interview, he was asked if he recalled the following individuals: Modi Bupul, Roy Barak, Oded Elden, Sivan Kurzberg, Paul Kurzberg, Omar Mamry. He said he did not recognize any of the above names. He advised that Dominic Suter was a crook. He would have the delivery teams fill up the trucks with empty boxes because he would charge the customers by cubic feet. He would also have some employees stay on the trucks when they were weighed so they could charge more. He further advised that he was not surprised that Omar Mamry is in some form of trouble with the authorities because he always spoke badly of the United States. On September 14, 2001, the Newark Division of the Federal Bureau of Investigation initiated a full-field investigation predicated upon circumstances indicating that five Israeli nationals detained in conjunction with the Pentbomb investigation had reportedly videotaped the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center and may have possessed foreknowledge of the same. The following summarizes the investigation to date. On September 11, 2001, numerous complaints received by FBI Newark revealed that several individuals have been observed celebrating the initial crash of the aircraft into the North Tower. T1, also known as Maria, a resident of Union City, New Jersey, advised that at approximately 9 a.m., her neighbor, called T2, called Maria on the telephone to tell her that she saw smoke coming from the World Trade Center. Maria used a 7x33mm, likely powered binocular, to view the scene from the rear window. While looking in the direction of the World Trade Center, she observed three males kneeling on the roof of a white van located in the rear parking lot of the apartment complex. It appeared that they had been as though they had noticed her as well. She described the males as white, mid-20s. No facial hair, no glasses, clean cut, and also celebrating on top of the attacks. According to Maria, one of the males appeared to be taking still photographs and video of the other males with the World Trade Center in the background. All the males appeared to be jovial. They smiled, hugged one another, and gave high fives. As the vehicle later left the area, she recorded the New Jersey state license plate as JRJ13Y. Later that day, her spouse returned home, and she provided the police with the information pertaining to the males. Another complaint received by FBI Newark revealed a second eyewitness who reported having observed a white van in the same parking lot as described by Maria. This eyewitness, however, observed the van at the parking lot as early as 8 a.m. on the morning of the attack at the World Trade Center. A third complaint later reported having seen on September 11, 2001, a big white model 2001 Chevrolet van or panel truck in Liberty State Park's Marine Terminal. Pursuant to this information, East Rutherford, New Jersey police authorities stopped an urban moving vehicles van at a pre-positioned roadblock. The van occupied by males similar to those described by the eyewitness, Maria, was traveling eastbound along State Route 3 in New Jersey. Following the stop, the police detained the five occupants, all believed to be Israeli nationals, on the grounds that they had been possessed information pertaining to the World Trade Center explosions. The matter was later forwarded to the FBI Newark for further investigation. Five occupants were detained for further questioning and later held for violations of immigration status. A search of the van and the vehicle's occupants was conducted at the time of the vehicle stop. The vehicle was also searched by trained bomb-sniffing dogs, which yielded a positive result for the presence of explosive traces. Swabs of the vehicle's interior were taken, and those samples were sent to the FBI laboratory for further analysis. Final results are still pending. Seizure of the individual's property yielded the following: a 35-millimeter camera, several personal telephone-style notebooks, backpacks, airline tickets with immediate travel dates for the destinations worldwide, Israeli passports, $4,700 in cash, student identification cards, later believed to be false, were also found. Oddly, equipment typically used in the moving company's daily duties were not found, including work gloves, blankets, straps, ropes, boxes, dollies, rollers, etc. Also not found was the video camera that Maria observed at least one of the males used to film the attacks at the World Trade Center. Five detained Israeli nationals were identified subject to the limited scope of determining whether a video camera had been used, and if so, where the video camera is to be located now. The results of the individual interviews yielded a wide array of discrepancies with respect to the whereabouts of each of the individuals as it applied to the present time of the attack at the World Trade Center. However, ABC News would have a report based upon what they possibly could have known or didn't know. Well, I'll let you be the judge of that.
In the days after the September attacks, there were countless rumors about strange coincidences surrounding the events. One report about a group of Middle Eastern men spotted the morning of September 11th parked just across the river from New York City has not gone away. Investigation of their presence has led to questions about whether Israel was conducting espionage on U.S. soil. We're joined now by ABC's John Miller with an exclusive report this evening.
That's right, Elizabeth. This is a case that took the FBI and the CIA more than 2 months to sort out, while five Israelis waited in jail. It began when this woman was watching the Twin Towers burning from her apartment in New Jersey. She noticed three men on top of a van, posing for pictures with the towers burning in the background.
And I could see that they were, like, happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. You know, they didn't look shocked.
I thought it was very strange.
The witness called police, who stopped the van hours later and arrested five men. All five, it turns out, were Israeli. They were turned over to the FBI. Sources tell ABC News, during a check of national security databases, some of the men were listed as having had connections with Israeli intelligence. At the FBI, that set off alarm bells.
The FBI needed the answers to three important questions. Who were these men? What brought them to that parking lot on the morning of September 11th? And did they have any advance knowledge of what was going to happen that day?
The men said they were just taking pictures at the time. They said they worked for a company called Urban Moving. The FBI obtained a search warrant for the company's offices.
Two SUVs were filled up with between 9 and 12 boxes and computers.
Not long after the arrests, the offices of Urban Moving were simply abandoned. Almost everything was left behind. In jail, the five Israelis were repeatedly interrogated and given lie detector tests. Stephen Gordon was their American lawyer.
They were asked questions if they had ever been approached by or hired by any non-United States intelligence community.
While there is still some debate among American intelligence officials, many investigators believe some of the men were part of an Israeli operation aimed at monitoring radical Islamic charities that support groups like Hamas, something lawyers for the five men and the Israeli government strongly deny.
These five Israelis were not involved in any intelligence operation in the United States. The story is simply false.
In the end, the FBI concluded there was no evidence that any of the five men had advance knowledge of the September 11th plot. After 71 days, the five Israelis were deported, leaving some ruffled feathers among both U.S. and Israeli officials. According to federal officials, the five men have been barred from returning to the United States for 10 years, they say because they violated immigration laws.
Bottom line, John, is there any evidence any of these five men knew about the September 11th attacks before they occurred?
The FBI spent a great deal of time examining this question. It does not appear that they were in place taking pictures before the planes hit, but shortly thereafter. And they say they haven't uncovered evidence that any of these five men, and they did their backgrounds, they searched apartments, they telephone records, and so on, had any advanced knowledge of the attack.
However, according to the files I'm reading to you from the FBI's interviews of the residents at Doric Towers, it suggests that that wasn't the case. Back to the reading of the final document. Photographs also revealed that all five men later observed the World Trade Center burning from a location on top of the roof of the Urban Movie System warehouse located adjacent to the Urban Movie System's office location described herein. At this point, more interviews were conducted to verify the accuracy of their statements, as well as to obtain any additional information concerning the video camera that was allegedly used by the Israelis. One such interviewee, T3, claimed to have seen Redacted in Doric Towers on the afternoon of September 10th, 2001. According to T3, Redacted, one of the five dancing Israelis, rode the elevator with T3 and another unidentified Spanish-speaking man whom T3 observed exiting the elevator on floor 3. T3 observed Redacted exiting the elevator on floor 9. Oddly, Redacted identify himself to the Spanish-speaking male as a construction worker working in the building until 7 p.m. that night. T3 identified Redacted from a photo lineup comprised only of the photographs of the five detained Israelis. Maria, the source of the original information pertaining to the Israeli male, was re-interviewed at a later date. She confirmed for interviewing agents that it was indeed a video recording device rather than a still camera that the Israelis had used in filming the World Trade Center from atop the van. In fact, Maria recalled quite clearly that the camera was a small handheld unit with a liquid crystal display, LCD, screen that's folded out and could be used in panning. In the early phases of the investigation, several other complaints surfaced concerning trucks, vans belonging to Urban Moving Systems that had been sighted in locations around the World Trade Center and Doric Towers. For instance, two complaints were received which indicated that Urban Moving Systems vehicles had been spotted in the greater Boston, Massachusetts metropolitan area, one in Plymouth and one in Nashua. Additionally, an Urban Moving Systems truck traveling westbound had been stopped on September 10, 2001 near Mortersville in Pennsylvania. At the time of the vehicle stop, the driver and passenger, Roy Barak and Moody Football, were identified as Israeli nationals. Later, the same truck was stopped on September 12, 2001, while traveling eastbound toward New Jersey. Based primarily on the inconsistencies found in the statements of the five Israelis and the interviews conducted of Maria and other tenants of Doric Towers, FBI Newark conducted polygraphs of Paul and Steven Kurzberg on September 13, 2001, concerning the issue whether a video camera had been used to film the crash of an aircraft into the World Trade Center. Both men denied that a video camera had been used. Based upon the aforementioned facts, FBI Newark then obtained a search warrant to search the offices of Urban Moore Systems in Weehawken, New Jersey. Search conducted on September 13, 2001, met with negative results concerning a video camera. Nevertheless, 15 computers and a network server were seized from Irving Moving Systems' office. FBI Newark noted the unusually large number of computers relative to the number of employees for such a fairly small business. Further investigation identified several pseudo names or aliases associated with Irving Moving Systems. At this point in the investigation, agents from Newark FBI, Foreign Counterintelligence Squad, were consulted concerning the Israelis. Their conclusions were based on, one, did the Israeli nationals have foreknowledge of the events at the World Trade Center? Were they filming the events prior to and anticipation of the explosion? FBI Newark provided the initial basis for a possible connection between the five Israelis and the 9/11 attacks. This is a page and a half redacted. It basically tells you that the FBI know that these Israelis had either foreknowledge or were intimately involved in the attack on the intelligence level. Not in the participation level, but the intelligence. Based on information provided by Miami Division, Newark initially detained and interviewed four employees of Classic International Movies, a New Jersey-based movie company which believed by Miami to have been utilized as a mover of one of the 19 alleged hijackers. Now, I want to talk about this because this is actually still repeated to this day by certain individuals. Later found out that Classic International Movies did not move one of the hijackers. In fact, the person that they moved, his name is Adnan Bukhari. Adnan Zakaria Bukhari is a Saudi flight engineer who was initially reported by CNN to be one of the hijackers aboard Flight 11. And they also reported that his name was said to have been on the flight manifest. A little bit about Bukhari. He actually was a Saudi Arabian Airlines pilot at Flight Safety Academy in Vero Beach, Florida, where incidentally, several of the hijackers had trained. And as of 2001, he held a flight engineer, turbojet mechanic, power plant panel landing certification, as well as a first class medical certificate that was issued on May of 2000. But on September 12th, FBI agents, also backed by the SWAT team, stormed Bukhari's leased house, which is based at 4036 57 Terrace. And they arrested him, saying that their identity of him as Amir Bukhari, who is his brother, who was found in a rental where the information was found in a rental car by none other than Muhammad Atta, which was left in a parking lot in Portland, Maine. That's pretty coincidental that Muhammad Atta would leave a business card of Amir Bukhari, because Amir Bukhari is dead. He died a year prior. So while searching his house, they announced that they found a copy of Amir Bukhari's pilot license and hazardous materials with them. But Adnan Bukhari passed the polygraph and was later cleared by the FBI and cleared of any wrongdoing. However, the person that was involved in giving that information to CNN was an FAA employee named James Hopkins, who was fired for independently going to FAA records and reporting to the FBI that Bukhari had trained at the FAA's academy in Oklahoma City twice, which led to the investigation of Bukhari. One of the Classic International Movers detainees was visibly disturbed by the agent's questioning regarding his personal email account. Of note is that Classic International Movers' telephone number also appeared in one of the aforementioned notebooks seized from the five Israelis held in New Jersey. On September 14, 2001, FBI Newark conducted polygraph examinations of redacted and redacted to determine whether either possessed prior knowledge of the attack at the World Trade Center. Not surprising. Redacted, who was not even present when the initial photographs were taken for the apartment parking lot, failed his polygraph. Redacted then attempted to determine, based upon witness interview statements made by the detainees themselves and by other independent investigation, whether Redacted could have been at the apartment complex prior to the attacks. FBI Newark obtained witness statements and a gasoline receipt from the Gulf Service Station where the Israelis had purchased gasoline on September 11, 2001. Investigation determined that the Israelis purchased gasoline at approximately 2:14 p.m., which was subsequently corroborated by reviewing for photographs taken by the Israelis that day. One such photograph depicts Redacted using a squeegee to clean the windows of an Irving Marine Systems vehicle, because the picture is chronologically one of the last taken that day. The gasoline had to have been purchased after the attack of the World Trade Center. A review of the Easy Pass records provided little by way of determining the exact location of the Israelis' vehicle. According to the Easy Pass that was found in the Irving Moving Systems van used by the Israelis, it passed through Brooklyn, entrance to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel at 7:48 a.m. FBI Newark obtained the videotape of a local news helicopter crew, which provided footage of the explosion beginning just minutes after the initial impact of the aircraft. A comparison of this videotape with the still photographs taken by the Israelis implied that the Israelis' photographs were taken closer in time to the explosion of the South Tower than to the initial impact of Tower 1. This comparison, albeit non-scientific, corroborated the Israelis' claim that they departed Urban Moving Systems from the parking lot observation point at the hearing of the initial explosion, which doesn't mean that other individuals could have had prior knowledge and were seen in the back parking lot of Doric Tower. According to Maria, it was a call from T2, which is a neighbor and close friend, which initially prompted Maria to look outside the window towards the World Trade Center, in which she reported about the identities of the five men. Another individual at Doric Tower, T5, revealed that he observed in the local dispatch area of the company upon clocking in at work at 8:58 a.m. on Urban Moving System on the morning of September 11, 2001, that T-Von Kurzberg was on the interview, that Paul Kurzberg was also present. Unfortunately, second interview at T5 was not conducted for the verifying of T5's earlier statement. Instead, the interview produced only additional background on Urban Moving System. The cellular telephone, bearing telephone number Redacted, seized at the time of the vehicle stop, is opined to be belonging to Redacted since the electronic display shows the name, which is also Redacted. FBI Newark, in a follow-up interview, that one of the employees of Irving Moving Systems said that while en route to the parking lot observation point, Redacted wanted to inform of their having left the office. Redacted authorized their departure, noted that he himself was on his way to the office and expected to arrive there within a minute. Either Paul or Sivan Kurzberg did not corroborate the statement with respect to the approximate time that they were at the parking lot. On Wednesday, September 21st, 2001, all five of the Israelis were re-interviewed by FBI Newark and the FBI's New York head office. All five Israelis failed their polygraph. All have been subjected to the polygraph examination a second time. The polygraph examiner's reports all said they failed their polygraphs. Now this would mean, ladies and gentlemen, that either they were there prior to the attacks or during. To me, it doesn't matter. What matters is, why were they seen celebrating the attacks? Well, it would mean the following. Just as Paul Kurzberg told an employee at Urban Moving Systems that now the United States would have to get involved. And this means the bigger picture, ladies and gentlemen. Now, allow me to speculate, which I hardly ever do, in regards to why the Israelis would want this attack to be successful. One would mean that the United States and their coalition partners would use their military to invade Muslim countries that were once outlined as being the threat to Israeli sovereignty in the 1980s. And they were outlined in a document called the Odid Yunnan Plan. It was later on with the Bush administration and the neoconservative movement, which are compromised of evangelical Christians and dual Israeli citizens, people like Richard Pearl, Douglas Feith, Paul Wolfowitz, Louis Libby, and others, in regards to how the United States would have to be the sole dominating superpower along with Israel to basically fragment Arab countries and to keep the eternal loop of the war on terrorism going. Now, this would mean that more production of missiles, bombs, tanks, and what have you, keeping private military contractor firms like LG3 Technologies, Raytheon, Boeing, companies that would make hand over fist, and of course, the invasion of countries like Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11, Afghanistan, which basically was a useless, pointless 20-year war in which the Taliban took over anyway when we left. The destruction of Syria, the destruction of Libya, countries that actually were at war with bin Laden and al-Qaeda and Wahhabi militants in the region. Meanwhile, countries like Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Bahrain, Pakistan were left untouched on the war on terror. So as you can see, there's a lot of benefit when it comes to having the attacks to be successful. Again, this is all speculation. I have no direct evidence that any of this is the case. But I leave you with this. Is it more plausible that the intelligence community, whether it be Saudi Arabia or Israel, would have intimate knowledge of an attack using airplanes at specific targets on specific dates and allow for these attacks to happen because of the benefits they would hold for both countries and their governments? Or was this basically the intelligence committee caught off guard, that they didn't know about the attacks and that they tried their very best to stop the attacks before they even happened and that bureaucracy got in the way? I leave that answer to you to listen. All I am is a messenger that basically uses primary source material to create a timeline prior to the attacks, during the attacks, and after the attacks. Because, like the intelligence community, I believe in having information given to the people because power belongs in the hands of the people, and not in the hands of the few. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Adam Fitzgerald. Good night.